Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else, it's the Steve Hook Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. I am Steve Hook. So glad to have you with us again. Hope your day is going well. Well, we just heard from Patrick all about the documents and the docudrama, DocuGate. You've always got to come up with a catchy name for scandals like this. More often than not, if it's a Republican president, the media will come up with those catchy names. For some reason, they're kind of laying low on this one. And boy, did you notice the way that Mike Pence releases, he says, hey, guess what? Whoops. Uh-oh. Sorry, fellas. Looks like I've got documents too. And now all of a sudden, well, this kind of takes the heat off of Biden. Slow down now. I'm not so sure that it takes any heat off of Biden. I'll tell you who it takes heat off of, though, the Biden document dump and the Biden discoveries. And I mean, where I loved a tweet last week from Elon Musk. He said, why don't you just give us a list of where the documents aren't? Maybe that will be shorter. But it does take the heat off of any prosecution going forward for former President Donald Trump. I just can't see the DOJ circling that square, threading that needle. Use the analogy of your choosing. I just don't see it. Now, I don't know that means Trump is going to be the 2024 nominee for the Republican Party. I think it's getting more and more evident as time goes by, especially now that we've got some congressional House committee seats and chairs and that look to be going after Biden. So while I don't know that Trump will be the 2024 nominee, he may well be. But I think it's becoming more obvious as we go by that it's probably not going to be Biden on the Democrat side. They're courting Gavin Newsom. Of all people, Gavin Newsom. It's staggering that they would even consider Gavin Newsom. But you know that the Democrat Party is all about, well, they're all about appearances and just, you know, hey, listen, if you can get Joe Biden elected, like I said yesterday, you can get anybody elected. And Gavin Newsom is a good-looking guy. He's kind of, you know, he's kind of quick on his feet. He's always got something to say. And the Democrat Party thinks that maybe he's going to be their savior, which is amusing if you think about it, because he doesn't check any of their boxes other than the fact that he's from California. How is Kamala Harris going to take the courting of Gavin Newsom? Because if you listen to the media, it's, well, I don't know, it could be Gavin Newsom, could be Mayor Pete Buttigieg. But they never seem to say, yeah, it's definitely going to be Kamala Harris. Have you noticed that? So how is that going to play out within the base of the Democrat Party? Because it seems to me that the Democrats are losing faith quickly, like the rest of us have for a long time, in Joe Biden. I mean, you know. Now, sure, okay, maybe Mike Pence drew a lifeline to, and I don't think it was intentional, by the way. I was watching Tucker last night, and he kind of made the case that, well, maybe this is intentional. Mike Pence just saved Joe Biden. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not that much of a conspiracy theory. Did it, in effect, help Joe Biden? Yes. Do I think Mike Pence said, hey, I've got documents too, in order to facilitate helping Joe Biden? No. That I do not believe. I believe that Mike Pence is genuinely a pretty good guy and realized that, uh-oh, before they start fishing everywhere, I better come up with it. And he, of course, did. And now, of course, early in this DocuGate, we heard the Democrats saying, well, this isn't, you can't compare this to Trump. Joe Biden and his team willingly handed this stuff over. And then all of a sudden, drip, drip, drip. Oh, guess what? There's more in Wilmington. They're in the garage next to the shop vac, but they're also in the private library of Joe Biden. And, uh-oh, wait a minute now. The Penn Biden Center, yeah, we've got more there. And so far, I think there's been five, six, seven, whatever. It just keeps growing. And now all of a sudden you don't hear the, well, this isn't the same as Trump. You're right. It's not the same as Trump. That's true. It is considerably worse than Trump. Again, Mar-a-Lago, 24/7, armed security, cameras everywhere. The documents that were in the possession of former President Trump were well known about by the National Archivist. I mean, they had come, they had given him a tour. Hell, Trump even gave them a tour of Mar-a-Lago, showed them where the documents are. They looked at them. They said, okay. They took pictures of them. And then they said, can you please put a little bit tighter security, just another lock on this door? And that's how President Trump says, yes, of course, we'll do that. Absolutely, no problem. And by the way, as he is a former president, he had Secret Service protection surrounding him all the time. So the documents were considerably safer at Mar-a-Lago than they were next to the, next to the workbench and the shop vac and the rake and lawn implements of destruction there in Joe Biden's garage. And of course, his wonderful 68, was it a 68 or 67 Corvette? I don't know. But I do think that it's gotten worse. Now, I bring all this up, and I know people are kind of going, oh, my God, document gate. Folks, we bring it up because, well, for one, I've got a great guest today, a great, great guest coming up, and that is Tom DelBaccaro. I'm going to introduce you to Tom in just a bit. Right now, we take a short pause. We come back with some news on TNT Radio.
It's the stuff.
It's that division
people are talking about.
And that cluelessness that they want to push.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, then. Okay, now listen, hey, in case you missed it, this past Saturday, and you probably didn't, because most people that listen to TNT are up to speed on the news. But in case you missed it, an FBI official that was investigating President Trump for colluding with Russia. it looks like he was colluding. The FBI agent was actually colluding with Russia. A very dirty Russian oligarch. And you can't make it up. It's the old adage. They always accuse you of doing what they do. So here's the deal. This past Saturday, an FBI official who played a part in the investigation of Donald Trump apparently has his own illegal ties to Russia. And let's get the full story. Joining me right now, TNT Radio news producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Hello, Ruckus. What's going on with this story, brother?
Thanks, Steve. This is either a case of irony or it takes one to know one kind of a situation. And yeah, you're right. I'm sure the TNT listeners have already caught on to this, but I would love to, I wanted to discuss this with you because it's important, because it stands as a reminder of exactly the type of people who want to, this is rank hypocrisy is what this is. So there's some more details that have come out since this hit. It's more than just like a quick tweet now. It's full news. You can find this up on Fox News. Gateway Pundit's covering it too. Shout out to the Hoff brothers and all the folks there. This former senior FBI counterintelligence official was reportedly involved in the Trump-Russia probe. And who can forget that? We got to prove that Trump, he's somehow illegally tied to Russia. Well, it appears that one of the people who were playing a part behind the scenes is guilty of doing just that. So this person would be Charles McGonigal. He was arrested and charged over alleged ties to a sanctioned Russian oligarch amid the war in Ukraine. He was a former special agent in charge of the FBI's counterintelligence division in New York, and he retired in 2018. He's charged with violating U.S. sanctions by agreeing to produce services to Oleg Deripaska, a sanctioned Russian oligarch. These words are fun. He was charged alongside Sergei Shestakov, a former Soviet and Russian diplomat who later became a U.S. citizen and a Russian interpreter for courts and government offices, through a 5-count indictment, which was unsealed in Manhattan federal court just on Monday. McGonigal and Shestakov were both arrested on Saturday. This indictment is a rare move by federal prosecutors to bring charges against a former senior FBI official before a federal grand jury. Maybe that's a good sign. Maybe they're starting to clean house, Steve. Yeah. Here's where the ties to the Trump thing comes into play. This is reported by Fox News. They say that though not referenced in or related to the indictment, McGonigal, while serving as chief of the cybercrimes section at FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C., was one of the first bureau officials to learn of allegations that George Papadopoulos, a campaign advisor for former President Trump, boasted that he knew Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton, launching the investigation into alleged Russian election interference known as Operation Crossfire Hurricane. Business Insider previously reported that that was according to Business Insider. Now, Fox News is told that a senior counterintelligence official at the time, he was likely briefed on Crossfire Hurricane at the time the investigation was launched. Let's see what they did. According to the Department of Justice, their statement, this comes from the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Damian Williams. He said that McGonigal, 54, of New York City, Shestakov, 69, of Morris, Connecticut, quote, both previously worked with Deripaska to attempt to have his sanctions removed, and as public servants, they should have known better. This office will continue to prosecute those who violate U.S. sanctions enacted in response to Russian belligerence in Ukraine in order to line their own pockets, end quote. Well, gee, now I'm feeling optimistic here. Does that mean we can expand this investigation to other departments? I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, the DOJ, are they really going to press charges on this guy? I have heard that there is some scuttlebutt within the FBI, the field agents, that this this cat McGonigal is not very well liked within the FBI. Probably liked an awful lot on the seventh floor, but certainly not amongst the field agents. It's going to be interesting to watch that play out. But by my count, Ruckus, we've got Hillary Clinton actually destroying classified intel and hard drives with metal shredders, hammers, and whatnot, while accusing Trump of the same. We've got the FBI accusing Trump of conspiring with Russia while they're doing the same. We've got the Biden administration and Joe Biden as a candidate accusing Donald Trump of trying to get favors from Ukraine and Zelensky while he and his son were doing the same. It really is one of those cases where everything they accuse him of doing, they not only do, they've been doing for a long time. It's deflection and it's disgusting. But Ruckus, thank you, brother, for that update, man. And we look forward to chatting with you again tomorrow, man.
Yeah, I would also point out it might also be considered a bit of a propagandized version of projection, as it were.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for having me, Steve. Look forward to doing it again tomorrow.
You got it, brother. Take care. Well, there you go. Yeah, I must say it is very much a propagandized version. Just think about it, though, really, for real, folks. I mean, think about all of the things. And believe me, I am not trying to carry water for former President Trump. This goes well beyond Trump. This is more important than Donald Trump. I know that the people out there with the knee-jerk, Trump was the orange demon. That's crap. That's all personality-based. But this goes to something much more terrifying, quite frankly. We have a government that is deciding who can be president and who cannot be president, who can speak openly and who cannot, who can carry classified documents home and put them in their garage and who cannot. And it's really starting, and especially now we've got the FBI getting popped for this. What I want to know is why the hell didn't Comey get arrested for passing along the dossier to FISA? Why didn't that happen? Why didn't McCabe get in more trouble? I mean, there's so many unanswered questions. And unfortunately, with this 2-3-4 tier justice system that we seem to have these days, I don't know that we will get to the bottom of any of that. But I certainly do hope that Kevin McCarthy and some of the House committees that he's put together, Oversight Committee with Comer, maybe Judicial Committee with Jordan, they'll get to the bottom of some of this. But I got to tell you, they have really, really got their hands full, don't they? I mean, they've really got their hands full, and they've got a lot to keep them busy. Okay, now listen, we're going to take a breather here in just a sec. But before we do, I just want to remind you, great guest today, and a friend of mine, and this guy is very prescient. He knows what's going on well before it happens. Tom DelBaccaro will be joining us, and thankfully I've got him for the, well, for the rest of the hour. Tom, of course, is the founder of Political Vanguard. If you haven't checked out politicalvanguard.com, I highly encourage you to do so. He's also the author of the book, The Divided Era, a great book. Which, again, very prescient. What he said in that book years ago, we've witnessed come true. Tom is also a frequent contributor to Fox News, among other places. He writes for townhall.com, I think. And, well, he'll tell us all about it. Let's take a breather. We'll come back with Tom DelBaccaro on The Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Bruce DeTorres.
World peace and economic justice.
It's all the idea that they have the power they used to have, and that they can pick it up now with King Charles' coronation on May 6th,
right,
is actually what they hope everybody will think is happening, but it isn't happening.
Your assertion and conviction and certainty about that inspires me to no end, because anyone who studies reality as you and I do and I do could fairly conclude you can't fight City Hall. These are juggernauts of enslavement, digitally and otherwise. Set us straight about our hope and potential, Liz Dear.
My feeling about what's happening now is in the basic understanding that everything has a beginning, middle, and end. So for my purposes, I have described it as the end of the imperial stage of human existence. We have been there, done that, we got through it, and now we're ready to move on. And it's what's difficult, though, is that there's a lot of the old power structures still have a lot of power to keep the illusion going that they're still in control, but they're not.
Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
You're listening to Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show. I am Steve Hook. Again, I want to bring on my guest, and really always pumped to have Tom DelBaccaro on. Tom is a good fella, and he's, he goes back with me for a long time. He used to be on my old show, Right Hook Radio, my podcast a couple of times, and now he joins me on the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. Tom DelBaccaro, ladies and gentlemen, how are you, Tom?
I'm good to see you, brother. I'm enjoying the day out here on the beach in San Diego.
I know, you know, the folks listening cannot see your Zoom feed, but I look at it. I talked to you about it 2 hours ago, and you said, wait till you see where I'm at. And I told you, and now I can confirm, I am pissed that I'm not there.
There
it looks great, man. Well, listen, thanks for joining us. I want to there's so many areas. I'm glad that we've got you for the whole hour, because I want to talk to you about a bunch of things, but before we get into anything else, let's dive right in with DocuGate or docudrama or whatever you want to call it. Now we know that Mike Pence had documents. I think that this may have been probably, do you think Biden probably breathed a sigh of relief when former VP Pence came out and said, guess what? I've got papers too.
Well, I think Trump and Biden. Now look, Biden's out of control because of so many different places, none of them under lock and key, as opposed to Trump, who had it under lock and key, who the FBI and DOJ had visited, knew where it was, recommended the security around it, and which was under the watch of Secret Service and otherwise. Pence, it's not clear exactly what happened, but it becomes very easy for for Biden to say, and his people to say, look, this isn't me alone. Others have done this, so slow your roll. The real issue here becomes why this continues to happen. And there's a very easy fix for all of this, which I'm happy to propose to them listening. But
what is it?
What really matters is the difference in the way the DOJ and FBI treated Trump and Biden, and that's what should have our concern.
Well, yeah, I was kind of touching on that before, is that this is even bigger than Trump, because it seems to be a pattern of selecting winners and losers and who's going to be prosecuted and who isn't. And now we find out that some of these documents that Biden had go all the way back to his days in the Senate. I mean, that's going back pre-2008. I mean, that's a little bit ridiculous, no?
Yeah, it's a pattern in practice. Look, there's an easy way to fix this, which is with respect to the people that get classified documents in their hand, there is a National Archives or whatever agency person standing by. The person's allowed to view it, not allowed to take notes. And then at the end of the viewing, they hand it back and there's a chain of custody. This is one of the easiest things on earth to fix. Now, look, they haven't been doing that for sounds like many, many years. But the political issue for Biden, of course, is he sat there very indignantly talking about, oh, it's impossible what Trump has done, even though it was a leaked photo and it never looked like that. And so he looked stupid for doing that. Of course, I believe him when he says he can't remember any of this. We can go into that. But yeah, the Pence thing presents a problem for Republicans who are really harsh on Biden, except for this one area, Steve, and this is really where the rubber meets the road. There's no question that there is an email from Hunter Biden on his laptop to one of his overseas contacts. And it doesn't read like a Hunter Biden email. It reads like a national security briefing where you copy some of the material and put it directly into the email.
Yeah, of course,
Of course, the point of having national security protections is to prevent people who have no right to the information, Hunter Biden, from using the information contrary to U.S. interests, or for personal gain, or for both. It looks like he did that. So there is the potential here for a very serious crime, treason. You're not allowed to make profit off national security secrets, and that would be Hunter Biden. Will that play out? I can't say, sitting right here. And then you have this greater issue, which I wrote about in August for Fox, that the DOJ wants to choose who can be president and who can't.
Yeah. And you know, to that point, Tom, it does seem a little bit, I think hypocritical is just so obvious. Obviously, it's hypocritical. Obviously, there's a double standard. But it's insidious. And it seems that the guns are pointing in one direction when what Biden has done here, it looks like, and I we must stress, it looks like, given the info we've got on the laptop from hell, it does look like this was an influence peddling scheme, an operation. And then it also, you have to go back to Porchinko getting fired, the prosecuting attorney on the Burisma case. And of course, Hunter Biden on the board in Burisma. I mean, goodness gracious, has there ever been an administration that is so blatantly corrupt that the media so obviously ignores?
Well, Lyndon Johnson did some things that were pretty untoward. But no, I got to agree with you that this is about as bad as it's going to get, or at least I hope so in the near future. There's little doubt that Hunter Biden, you know, on the plane with his father to China and then comes away with his deal while his father was on state business. So, yeah, it's there. It's never been debunked, despite them saying that countless times. And so this is an opportunity for the Republicans to look into this stuff. I can say the next 2 years cannot be only these investigations. They need to put forth a positive agenda and telling people how they're going to fix the problems that Americans have. But it's pretty plain. It's pretty plain that there's a lot of smoke, if not flames here, and they need to take a good look at it.
I there is a lot of smoke, and Tom, and I think, you know, we can kind of see through the smoke. It's a towering inferno of scandal here. What I think is so staggering about the whole thing is the way the media, it almost, when they broke the news yesterday, and I kind of flipped around and I checked a few of the different, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, even some of the local coverage, it almost seemed like they were relieved to say, Mike Pence has got documents too. Mike, a former vice president, by God, this is a problem. And then that's how they're going to flush it. But that doesn't carry any water when you've got the laptop to back all this stuff up, no?
Yeah, the Hunter Biden angle to this is much deeper. And that's what Republicans really need to focus on. Because if he used top secret information or classified information, then, of course, that's the whole reason why you want to protect this stuff. And it's, of course, the president's son. The president's obviously the worst offender of this in his days because he just left this stuff all over the place. Yeah. Although I've read that, you know, among the millions of documents that Obama has, there's probably something in there as well. And that's still an issue. But yep. At the end of the day, what the last 2 years, 6 years have shown is that we have a very politicized DOJ, a politicized police force, a politicized police state. They let Hillary get away with a horrific violation of that law, and they let her run for president. They have tried to stop Trump from running for president in every which way they could.
And help Biden win. Well, listen, yes. I got to take a break because we're coming on a hard stop here. But hold that thought because we want to come back and kind of extrapolate this out. My guest today on the Steve Hook Show is Tom Del Beccaro. We'll be right back with more of the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio.
Here's some more potentially bad news.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Germany announced it will give Ukraine 14 powerful Leopard 2 tanks with dozens more potentially to come. Russia has called this escalation very dangerous. Meanwhile, several senior Ukrainian officials, including frontline governors, have been caught up in a corruption scandal. Chris Hipkins was sworn in Wednesday as New Zealand's 41st prime minister following the unexpected resignation last week of Jacinda Ardern.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Okay, we are back. Welcome back to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. Our guest, Tom Del Beccaro. Tom, we were discussing DocuGate and everything that comes with it. I really do think that we're starting to see a little bit of conflation here with the coverage here. I think with the Mike Pence, there was the lifeline that I think, of course, Joe Biden was looking for. You mentioned Trump too. I agree with that, though. I got to say, I don't know that after the Biden revelations. Whether Pence did it or not, I don't know if that Merrick Garland could have gone forward with any prosecution on Trump without looking like the complete politicized hack that he apparently is. But certainly the Mike Pence revelation does help both men. But I don't think that's
really. But
stop.
Steve,
go ahead.
Steve, the problem here is what standard do they want to use?
Yeah.
Is Pence guilty by the Hillary standard? Clearly not, because Hillary was actively transmitting these things in an unsecure environment. So what standard are
and
you?
Then, and then, by the way, Tom. By the way, Tom. Just to underscore that, she also purposely, physically destroyed them while they were under congressional subpoena. I mean, you know.
Oh, come on. That was just yoga information. You right-wing guy.
Wedding play. Yeah, I know. I mean,
that's so, you know, I've been an attorney for 35 years. And the idea that someone can decide what information is subject to a federal subpoena and they'll make that determination was only topped by the DOJ allowing Biden's attorney to tell them what is at the crime scene, which is at the house. Now, look, why is the Biden garage a crime scene? Because you can make the argument that having classified information in an unsecured environment, go ahead and ask David Petraeus about that, because he was charged with a federal a criminally for doing exactly that. That yeah. makes it, quote, a crime scene that needs to be investigated. And there you have the DOJ literally being okay with Biden's attorney telling them what was at the scene. I don't know. Let's see. What should they do? Call up a mafia figure and have them, hey, so that murder scene you were telling us about, tell us what you found. Oh, that's all? That's all? Okay, we're good. We'll see you later. I mean, it's that absurd. And that's how politicized they are. On the other hand, with Trump, they knew the scene. They had visited the scene. And then they leaked pictures of a false scene. Because those documents had always been under lock and key. So they leaked a picture of a false scene of the crime and then had Biden say, oh, I can't believe anyone could let that happen.
And you know what, Tom? It's even worse than that, because last week when the DOJ and the FBI went to the Wilmington mansion, the doctor and her patient, the president, Joe Biden. So Dr. Jill and Joe were at the Rehoboth Beach house while the DOJ and the FBI were scouring through all the nooks and crannies of the Wilmington house. And how much you want to bet that there was a whole lot of paper shredding going on in Rehoboth Beach, or people moving stuff around? Because I bet next week we're going to hear that the FBI has descended on the Rehoboth Beach house and they've found nothing. Would that be a shock?
No, it wouldn't. And again, it's a moving standard. The law is supposed to be blind, and the value to law is in its consistent prosecution and interpretation. And we don't have that anymore. And that is why there is so much cynicism in America today, because no one can possibly say that the FBI treats Republicans. You mentioned Andy McCabe earlier. Four times he lied to the FBI. He was recommended to prosecution by a guy who's fairly even-handed. And not only do they not prosecute him for what you and I would be in jail for, but they settled the lawsuit with him and gave him all his money, despite, you know, I don't know, if you lied to the FBI, you probably shouldn't work in the Department of Justice. That's just me. But it is out of control, the double standard. And the Republicans can seize on this by not just uncovering it, but like I say, excuse me, they got to offer reforms. And it's a simple reform with regard to these documents. Put in a bill that says that the DOJ or whatever has to accompany these people viewing these materials, and they have to hand it back. They do that at certain levels, but apparently it's not as up to date or the presence isn't as significant as it needs to be. We can fix these things. We should find out the past and then do a reform. And Republicans need to do that.
And it really is. It's when you start seeing this, I hate to use the word systemic because it's so often misused in this day and age, but it is systemic issues with classified documents that seems to be a problem. And, you know, you could say what you want about Trump. They said, oh, well, Trump, you know, we told him we wanted him. He was fighting the DOJ. He didn't want to give him back to the archivist. You could say that all you want, but Trump was also not accused of influence peddling. Trump did also not say, my son is never, I don't know anything to do with my son or daughter's a foreign business, and then have 15 pictures of, you know what I'm saying? The double standard is so sick. I want to shift a little bit here, because I think that there's so many levels of corruption that we've witnessed here. We can talk about DocuGate. I think that what's happening at the southern border is criminal. You live near the southern border. So I'd like, and of course, with the fentanyl epidemic, really, it's that's just killing people left and right. And then, of course, you've got now today the big news broke that the USA is going to send 31 M1A1 Abrams tanks over to Ukraine. Correct me if I'm wrong, but are we in the middle of a damn proxy war here? I mean, at first I was kind of down with, yeah, help out Ukraine. But it seems like this is just, we're just going to continue to throw money at this. And what exactly do we gain from it? I mean, what's, I mean, I know Putin's a bad guy, but goodness gracious, man.
Well, I think as a historical matter, there's proxy wars, in, certainly when we had a bipolar world between the Soviet Union and its client states and those allied with us, we provided supplies and armed people. You look at when Zbigniew Brzezinski helped the forerunners to the Taliban to cause Russia significant problems such that Russia invaded Afghanistan, and Brzezinski famously said, we just gave the Soviet Union its Vietnam. This is not new in the foreign policy realm between superpowers, but it has less meaning or danger when it happens in Afghanistan than what is otherwise known to history as the violent continent, which of course is Europe. Europe has had untold number of wars over the centuries, and those wars have occurred. You know, if you look at the World War I, it was not an aggressive movement of an army that caused World War I. It was, of course, an assassination, and then things spiraled. So the point being, the fuse can often be short in a continent that has witnessed by far the most wars of any continent.
And this screams of mission creep, does it not?
Yes. So the point being, yeah, we may have funded the forerunners to the Taliban to cause Russia problems, but not all aid is the same. And if you're sending tanks from the U.S. directly to the Ukraine, the Soviet, it's very easy to Putin, who doesn't specialize in the truth, to make the argument that the United States is now an active participant in this war. And he has said that to a certain degree, but you know, as it escalates, at what point does he say it's more than that? Now, there's a school of thought that think that Putin is just barking and he will never do something about that. But then again, that same school of people never thought that he'd actually go through with a full-scale invasion.
So even when he had troops on the border, they were saying, oh, it's not going to happen.
Yes. Yeah, so the point is you're playing with fire here. I think, look, we're going to look back on this, hopefully, and be able to say that it turned out that the Russian army was a paper tiger, to say the least. It turns out that Russia is weaker than anyone actually imagined. But whether we can say that a year from now or 10 years from now is in part dependent on him not doing something very radical. And dying dictators don't specialize in worrying about their PR going forward.
And when you say dying dictators, there has been rumors that he is not in well health. We'll see how that plays out. I'm very skeptical of those that say, hey, once Putin's gone, problem over. How the hell do we know? We don't know who we're going to get in place of Putin. It could be somebody that's even worse.
Yeah. And even if you don't believe the stories about his health, he's not exactly young, and he's got a safe face somehow. Now, look, again, horrible dictators, Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Putin, they face different ways than an American or otherwise politician. So you got to be careful in that regard, thinking he's going to act rationally, especially when he owns matches and you're standing in a sawdust pile.
Yeah. And, you know, and part of the problem too, Tom, and I don't need to tell you, it's one thing to say, yes, we all know Putin is a madman. Okay, good. We'll accept that. But then when you look at the U.S. president, you're like, I don't know that this particular president is up for this job. And given all the scandals that are going on in our own continent, maybe we don't want to dive in full bore into a European conflict that could, like you said, it could be like standing in a pile of sawdust with a whole pack of lit matches in your hand. It could go wrong quick.
Yes. Yes. And when you're dealing with the violent continent, that this is why pre-planning or not getting in the situation becomes so essential, because this is the kind of situation which gets out of control. I mean, keep in mind that the War of 1812, the U.S. had already agreed not to fight the war, but it was too late. The war had already started.
Yeah.
And so wars get started by error. So
that's
the risk here.
Yeah, well, we've got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll touch on this more. We'll wrap it up. And then I do want to touch on the border while I've still got you. But fascinating talk. My guest today on the Steve Hook Show is Tom Del Beccaro. Stick around. We'll have more with Tom on TNT Radio coming up.
Let's get rid of 7 billion people? Did Jane Goodall really say that at the World Economic Forum?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Jane Goodall, who made famous as an environmentalist who lived among the chimpanzees observing their behavior, may have spent too much time with the chimps, as she's now very anti-human. Here is Jane Goodall at the World Economic Forum in Davos.
We cannot hide away from human population growth. Because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
That's right. If you go back 500 years, you get a world population of about 1 billion people, or 7 billion less than our current number. Maybe if humans could live among the chimpanzees, we could reduce our carbon footprint. You've heard of the movement called the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement, profiled by the New Yorker magazine? Well, perhaps we're fast approaching the day when the word voluntary may be removed from the group's title. This is Mark Morano for TNT Radio and the Morano Minute.
One day, my 8-year-old son, Michael, was playing football with his friends in the mud and got an infection that led to sepsis.
Sepsis is your body's toxic response to an infection that can lead to tissue damage to extremities.
They needed to do 2 upper amputations and 2 below the knee.
Sepsis causes an average of 38 amputations per day in the United States. To learn more, go to sepsis.org.
Opinionated, informed, and unafraid. Steve Hook on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show on TNT. I am Steve Hook, and he is Tom Del Beccaro, joining us for the hour today. Tom, you know, I wish we had 4 hours, brother, because there's just so much that we could talk about. I mean, we've talked on the phone longer than this show is, but it's good to have you. Now let's jump back in. We're obviously, it's a tinderbox over there in Ukraine and Russia, and like you said, my fear is that this is just going to be a drip, drip, drip. Now we give them M1A Abrams tanks. We're giving them 31. Germany has said they're going to send 11 of their Leopard tanks, which is one of the best tanks in the world. Of course, so is the Abrams. So they're going to send 11. We're going to send 31. At what point do the F-15 start arriving and the F-22s? I mean, when are we going to get Maverick over there? That's my fear.
Yeah, there's no logical ending point. Once you go from humanitarian relief to materiel, then the mission creep you describe exists. And the tripwire to a more dangerous escalation on the other side, and that may be from China, is hard to understand. Look, at the start of this war, way back a year ago, I warned that the question will become, nearly a year ago, the question will become, will we accept the normalization of this as a continuing war and or that push on Ukraine to allow Russia to withdraw and keep some of the land that it has taken over? That is a dangerous prospect, to say that that Russia should be able to invade places and keep parts of it as they retreat. But it's the world we're in. Now, look, there is a scenario that within 3 to 4 years, this has proven that to bankrupt this Russia to a certain degree, and they will have self-inflicted wounds. However, the only way that actually comes true is if the Western countries come to the conclusion that they should not be buying Russian oil and natural gas to the degree that they are, and they should become energy self-sufficient. But as you and I talked about on the phone, keep in mind the United States energy policy, one of the arguably, I think, its worst overall policy, major policies a country in its history, dating back to the late 60s. We are pushing the world to an area which endangers us and is a national security risk. They're conflicting policies. So we'll see, but this isn't fighting with Mexico on the border. This is a very dangerous exercise when you go to giving them tanks. This is different than giving Israel.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say.
Giving Israel missile defense systems, because those are defense systems. This is much more aggressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, tanks can be used in a defensive capacity, but tanks are ostensibly an offensive weapon. And I think that anybody that knows even, Warfare 101 can acknowledge that. And I do think that the creep is starting to creep in. Let me ask you this. Does this fear make sense, Tom? If it's true that there's no such, there's nothing more dangerous than a cornered animal, other than maybe a cornered despot, tyrant, dictator, do you think Putin, and I just don't know that he would have it in him, do you think that he has the capacity, if he's getting wiped out on his ground forces, do you think that he has the capacity to use a strategic nuke, or do you think he would? I mean, wouldn't that just be, that could be game over for him with Beijing and everybody else, I would think.
Not all nuclear devices are the same, or the same size. You know, there hasn't been one used in warfare in a long time, as we well know. But I don't think that it would cause much trouble. Here's the scenario it plays out. He uses it in a non-populated area. He wipes out some troops. The charge isn't that large, and the world retracts in horror. Ceasefires are demanded, and Russia says, we're going to do it again unless you allow us to partition. And the world is so horrified by this, they may hate Russia for years to come, but he still goes for the, he still did it. And they do partition the country. And then the question becomes, how many years come before we start buying again in such amounts that to make this forgivable? China doesn't love Russia to any degree. It uses it. China's strong enough economically to want to ascend to the superpower of the world without help from Russia. They like Russia being there because it draws attention away from themselves. But China could well shrug their shoulders at all of this eventually.
Yeah, well, let's hope it never gets to that level. I just don't know. I think that the second I do know that there's small tactical nukes, but I think that the second the N-word is spoken with regards to nukes, I just think that you're right. I think the world would recoil in horror. You mentioned just a minute ago, I know we're going to totally take a 180 here, but you're in California, Tom. We got a real problem on our southern border here. And I think that that's a lot of, you know, the whole Ukraine thing, the Ukraine-Russian thing, there's actually debate within the Republican establishment, the Republican Party and conservatives on how it should go. There's no debate about the southern border, though. Everybody, with the exception of this administration, apparently, and many members of the DNC, recognize the real problem that exists there. Do you see any way forward with securing this border?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think that the Republicans can do it?
When I ran for the United States Senate in 2016 against Kamala Harris.
And you barely lost, by the way. I just want to point that out.
And no, I lost by enough. But I debated her. And in the statewide poll after the debate, I won. And principally, it was because she couldn't answer questions, shocker. And I was trying to propose solutions. And one of the most significant I did related to the border. And at the time, I said, look, if the Republicans continue to fight the border issue solely by saying, making this a fight between the races of the country, you know, the Americans versus the Mexicans, the whites versus, or bad-mouthing Latinos, no progress would be made. But what I did say was, if you turn away from that and consider the border for the danger it is now in a nuclear age and now the fentanyl age, and engage on both sides of the border and within American politics saying, here are the fentanyl deaths, here's the process they use to bring it across the border, here's how the cartels are in control of these things using extensive video to show this to the American people. If Republicans do a concerted effort in that regard, they could still shock the nation into saying even more, because a majority thinks we have a border crisis. A majority
even
thinks
Democrat voters.
Yes, that there should be security. So the way to approach this is to co-opt Mexico, co-opt Latinos, and work on the issue of fentanyl and the damage done to all of the Latinos by the crime and the horribleness of the cartels. And when you approach it from that point of view, you can have success, as opposed to just arguing that we need to keep illegals out. That's not as winning a message as here's what's really happening in this country.
No, here. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think also when you're looking at the fentanyl situation, which is absolutely tragic, because, I mean, listen, I don't know of anybody personally, but I know of friends that have OD'd on fentanyl, friends of friends, kids or whatnot. You hear about it all the time. All roads point to Beijing on that, because almost all of this fentanyl is produced
Where is the Pulitzer Prize winning documentary on the fentanyl trail? That is the kind of thing we need to see in video in order to get to people, because they don't accept that it's from China. They don't accept that Mexico's being used, and they don't really believe it's coming over the border per se. Oh yeah, they hear a story now and then, but they can't believe there's only one port of entry, so to speak. And that's the kind of thing, if they saw it in videos, it would change minds.
Yeah, or they roll their eyes and they go, oh my God, that's just Fox News crap. It is maddening. It really is maddening. And this is the problem that we have with the mainstream media, because they certainly won't touch on it much, at least not while a Democrat is in office. And like I said, all roads point to Beijing on this, as far as I'm concerned, whether it's TikTok. I mean, Tom, have you seen the TikTok videos they show in China? And then you juxtapose those to the ones that we show here in America. I mean, in China, these kids are saying, hey, here's a neat algebra trick. In America, it's like, here's a neat way to get high, eat a Tide Pod or whatever the hell it may be. I don't know. But the point is it's highly regulated in China, because China knows how addictive. I've watched my own daughter sit for 45 minutes on a couch and probably watched 50 videos. Yet in China, it's all, you know, here's math, here's history, here's why communism is number one. It's insidious, not to mention, of course, the fentanyl. And it just kind of beggars belief that this administration won't do anything. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. Maybe this administration's kind of bought and paid for by Beijing in many ways. I mean, hello, $50 million to the Penn Biden Center.
Yeah. Look, I just don't think you have ideologues in this administration. You have people with no real skills in this administration. Yeah. What is it? The lowest ever percentage of people who've had private sector jobs in an administration. And you don't have a president that's in charge. So I don't know where a lot of whether a lot of this is just incompetence or a lot of this is ideology. It's obviously a mix of it all, but don't expect them to solve anything.
Well, Tom Del Beccaro, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Always great. Look forward to having you again very, very soon. There he goes, Tom Del Beccaro. I'm Steve Hook for the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.